Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
Okay, good morning. I'm going to try to do something that I don't do a lot, but I am asked by the Lord to do it once in a while, and that is preach a message or give a teaching that is primarily for a person or people, individuals, and hopefully do it in a way that everybody can glean from it. But frankly, my message today is for these guys, for Clay and Susan. But how many of you know, if you do know, I don't know if you're visiting here, this won't apply necessarily, but hopefully you know by now that any word that God gives to them is really for this house. So it's not, you know, you shouldn't feel like you're just here as a observer from a distance. This will be for you as well. And then those of you that aren't a part of this house, you can always glean from the truths and the principles that are shared. But as I was praying this morning, I heard two words very clearly from the Lord. And those words were reposition and recommission. Reposition and recommission. So I will have you share, before we pray for you in a few minutes, the dream you had last night. Because Clay had a dream that he doesn't know, he doesn't know till now that I'm going to do this message and what God spoke to me. But he did get a dream last night that I think is very confirming of this. So it's a season for you to shift into another phase of what God has created you for. And so I'm really glad, Don, that you stayed, because I felt like it was important that you be here to lay hands on these guys with me and do and pray over them in a few minutes and prophesy. So anyway, I'm really, really excited about what the Lord, I think, is going to do. And hopefully I'll be able to do this brief in a concise enough way that we'll have plenty of time without keeping you here too long. So let me just give a little teaching to wrap around this, get our hearts moving in the right direction. And some of this I've probably said here before, but I need to say it to get us contextually where we need to be for this. So the first thing I want to say is that when you shift into a new season, every shift, of course, builds on the last season. You know that. I know that. David went through several phases in his ministry. We'll call it a ministry, his calling, his destiny. He started at Bethlehem, then he went to the cave of Adullam. He went from a very high place to a very low place. He went from a glorious place of being anointed by the prophet and pulled out of obscurity in that anointing. A lot of scholars believe that David was what we would call today an illegitimate son, that he was the reason he wasn't called to the lineup with the seven brothers is because he was probably a product of an affair that Jesse had with one of the maids. And the word youngest there, when it said, when prophet said, aren't there any more sons? None of these are the king. He said, well, there's the youngest. But really, that word in Hebrew means the insignificant. There's an insignificant one out here on the side of the hill. Because as one who was born and through this illegitimate relationship, he had no rights or privileges as a son. So he was an outcast. And it's probably why he said in the Psalms, in sin I was conceived. So David, but the Lord anointed him during that season, pulled him out of obscurity, and then began his journey. But he went, instead of going from the anointing to the throne, he went to Adullam, where in the caves there he fled from Saul. And But it was a great season of training. Many of the Psalms were written there in Adullam. And I guarantee you that these guys, they could talk about phases in their lives and their ministry where it was anything but a glorious season. It was probably Adullam. If you're a leader and you're a mature leader, you've had your Adullam seasons where you've lived in the cave. But I believe because of David's relationship at Bethlehem, when he was in the hillsides worshiping and learning to relate to God in the way that he could, that's why he could turn the cave into a writing room. And a lot of the Psalms were written from Adullam. You know, when David wrote about the Lord is my light and my salvation, he probably wrote that in a dark cave by candlelight. But he summoned his faith and he summoned his belief in his destiny. And he said, I'm not dependent on my circumstances. The Lord is my light and my salvation. But then he went to Hebron. Oh, excuse me. Can I get a bottle of water? All of a sudden, I'm really dry up here. You haven't been drinking out of that, have you? Excuse me. But he went to Hebron, but see, there were 13 years between David's anointing and him getting to the throne over Judah at Hebron. And then he ruled in Hebron for 7 years and then went on to Jerusalem where he ruled over the entire nation. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in this, but I believe you're moving into the last phase. Now, that could be 20, 30 years, so don't get nervous. But I believe you're about to move into the fullness of what God has created you for. And even though he's used you in significant ways, and you model things for many of us, not just for these people. You are a forerunner in many ways. You are not just a forerunner because of your prophetic voice. You are a forerunner through your prophetic life. You model things for us, and you've been able to do that. But even though God has used you significantly, you are moving into your Jerusalem states. That's what I believe. The fullness of authority that God has created you for. And I don't think you've ever walked in what you're about to walk in. I don't think you've ever moved in the authority that you're about to move in. And I'm just trying to go slowly because this is a prophetic teaching. I'm trying to be very careful to not go too fast here. When you move from one stage to another, God is always building on the previous. But also when you move to the next phase, there are always some things you need to leave behind. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to leave behind this play. I'm not trying to lead up to a geographical move for you. But I am saying that there are some activities and things that you've had to do in the previous seasons that the Lord, I believe, is going to allow you to move on from. And I heard the Lord say clearly there are distractions that are about to be dealt with for you. There are things the enemy has been trying to do to distract you from the next season. But the Lord wants you to know they have been just that, the enemy's attempt to distract you. And he's going to allow you to move on into the next season, and you're going to leave some of those distractions behind. And I just feel like the Lord is saying you're going to be able to hear more clearly than you've ever heard before. Your prophetic anointing is going to go to a higher level, and you're going to find yourself dreaming more frequently. You're going to find yourself seeing things more clearly. You're going to find yourself thinking thoughts and thinking strategies, and you'll be down the path quite a ways in your mind thinking about it before you realize it's really prophetic God talking to you. You're going to think his thoughts in ways you've never thought before, and you're going to do it so easily and so freely. You're going to be a few minutes into it or an hour into some thought process before you realize this is not me thinking at all. This is a download from heaven. Because God's about to take your seeing and hearing anointing to a level that very few ever get to, Clay. He's about to fine-tune you once again. I just see his hand on the dial. Just fine-tuning you to the frequency. And it's going to be effortless to hear. Very, very easy for you to hear. I feel like probably there are some assignments that you've been doing that the Lord will release you from and say, that season is over. And some of those assignments probably involve some individuals that the Lord is saying, I'm releasing you from having to be as involved with those situations. But the key word for this one is some of the things you've been dealing with have become distractions, and the Lord is going to release you from those distractions, and you're going to be able to move on from that. I see you in a season where the Lord is about to do with you what he did with Paul when he said, separate them into this assignment. It's not that you're going to, I'm not trying to say you're going to leave here. I'm saying there's a word that will be so clear, and maybe you've already heard it. The Lord is saying, your focus won't be as much Antioch now. It'll be this region. So I guess that's probably a confirmation of this whole regional thing that God's been putting on your heart that will impact more than just your base. But regionally, you're going to have an increased impact. I just hear the Lord say there are people that he's been preparing here to carry more of the load. And this transition, as you shift some of your focus, is going to be very easy, because there are some people here that God have been able to align with you in their hearts, knowing that this house is not called to be a local church for a local community, but it's called to be something for a region. And you will never be allowed to think first here in this house about what is best for this congregation. You always will have been and will be required to think, what is he doing to within us for this region? But the Lord's just saying very clearly to me, there is a company here of people that understand that and that are ready to embrace that. And there are mature people here that have attached themselves to you that can take up some of the workload, some of the assignments, and it's going to be an easy transition. Also, I had heard the Lord say, as this begins to happen, there will be increased warfare. You're going you're going to be resisted, and I'm not talking about in your house, you know, strife. In this congregation, I'm talking about demonic. Feel like you're coming into a season of some resistance, but I heard the Lord say, it's almost like going to be like just swatting flies. It's not going to be, it's going to be increased warfare, but I just see you, you know, it's like a gnat. You just, it's not going to be hard to fight. It's going to be easy. It's going to be, you speak a word and it's done. It's going to be, at times where you just worship and you'll win the battle through the worship. I just hear the Lord saying, get ready for increased warfare, but watch how easy, watch how he enables you to just go through it. Seemingly without any, even having to fight. It's almost like you just make decrees and the enemy just runs. I saw Jesus, you know, after he was anointed, he was led into the wilderness and the temptation came and he had to battle that battle, but he just dealt with it and was undistracted as he walked through it. So I feel like you're coming. There are some very, very definite demonic assignments against you that are going to try and distract you, but you're not going to succumb to that. It's going to be easy for you guys to deal with this. I heard the Lord say that with this warfare, as you overcome these battles, and this is a word for all of us, as you overcome the battle, it simply increases the spoils. You're blessed as a result of the battle. You get Canaan. You get wells you didn't dig and houses you didn't build, and you get to eat crops you didn't plant. And I feel like this is a word for all of us right now. That we're about to come into another season of warfare, but we're going to overcome, and we're going to see that God's plan all along in allowing that battle to take place was so he could give us the city. Jericho becomes ours. Canaan becomes ours. And I feel like that's a word for all of us, that when the enemy comes in and tries to harass and tries to distract, God's going to show us just how to deal with that situation. And as we deal with it, we're going to find out something broke in the spirit realm when we move into a greater anointing. Yeah. Yeah. Or someone shows up in our congregation and begins to sow large amounts of money or whatever. There's an increased warfare that will result in increased blessing and provision. And that's just a very, very important word right now for all of us. You know, it was through the pit that Joseph got to the throne. It was through the prison that Paul wrote the epistles. So there's some warfare coming, but there's great victory through that warfare. I tell you, I've prophesied to you before that there's coming wealth. And I feel like, just as I stand here right now and listen, some of the warfare that you're about to move into is really to break loose. It's going to break loose some of the provision that God has been saving for you in this season. And I'm going to tell you again, as I've told you before, there's an inheritance still for you in Arkansas. And you're going to come into that inheritance. And it's spiritual, but it's also material. And it involves wealth. And you're going to come into that. I also hear the Lord say that with the change, the increased authority and assignment, strategies are going to change. I almost feel like you're in a season right now where God has already been causing you to think differently. And you're not quite into the fullness of that new season and thinking, but you're aware that it's happening. And you're trying to position yourself so that you can receive fully these new strategies. But the Lord, I feel like, says this to you. The reason that you're not yet fully through it is God's timing. That he has you on a very important timeline right now that is allowing him to get you to the right place before he gives you that peace. And then that enables you to go to the next one. And then as you get that one, you go to the next one. And I don't normally give words like this. And I don't normally get as specific as I'm about to get with you, but I just hear the Lord saying you're about 3/4 of the way through that process. So you're 70-80%, you're through that. And when you get to the end of this, you're gonna start receiving a huge download of strategy. Because you've had some things in your heart that you know God has told you, but you've not been able to grab the how-to. How do I do this? How is this going to happen? And the Lord just says again, you are not behind. It's not that you haven't heard. It's that he has been preparing things and you can't get too far out there until that's ready. And you're a doer. You're a mover. You're an action guy. And if you had the whole strategy now, you'd be trying to do it now. But it would have been premature. And that's a good word and warning for all of us. So the Lord he's just saying, don't be disturbed or bothered in any way whatsoever that you have not been able to get the fullness of the strategy. You're right on time. And I feel like I think I've said enough about that. New strategy is coming. And some of that new strategy also, let me just say this, some of that new strategy will involve new relationships. God's going to start aligning you with some people, or aligning them with you, maybe the better way to say it, that will become pieces of the puzzle that you've been needing to get. In fact, I'm not quite as confident in my prophetic anointing as he is. So I'm going out on a limb here. He's a full-fledged prophet. I'm just prophetic. There is a benefactor coming to you. There is somebody coming to you with a lot of money. And God has been holding that back till the right time. But there is an alignment coming that will involve a lot of money. And you're gonna be the normal tendency is going to be to be a little nervous. Are they trying to buy favor? Are there strings attached to this? I don't want to be controlled by this. I don't want to be moved by the fact that they have money and reach out to them for that reason. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord is in it. The Lord is in this. Somebody's coming into your life that has significant wealth, and they're going to start sowing big chunks of it into your ministry. I feel that so strongly. I feel like we just need to pray over that one right now. So just stretch your hand up here toward Clay and Susan. Lord, we just call into their life and ministry the provision that you have been saving for them. The connection, the alignment that is coming with an individual that will sow into them for the assignments that are coming. And Lord, we just take authority over any demonic attempt to get in the way of that. We say that that will not succeed. And we just swat that net right now and say, no, the provision is coming. And there will be abundant provision. And I thank you, Lord, as he moves fully, as Clay and Susan, as they move fully through this transition into the next season, that they will, when they get to the end of the transition, they will have everything they need to move forward. Amen. So the Lord reminded me of Aaron's anointing by Moses when he was commissioned. When I heard the words reposition and recommission, that's the passage he took me to in Exodus 28. I think it's Exodus 28. I'll find it for you later. But actually, I did look it up. It's 28:41. But either, there are three words that the Lord used when he told Moses to pray over Aaron. And they're all significant words that mean something different. There are about six or seven words in the Old Testament for ordain or commission. Three of them are in this verse. And we're going to do this over you in just a couple of minutes. But the first thing he said to do is you're going to anoint them. I personally believe, I don't believe we just are anointed once. I believe we go through anointing seasons. And this word is a word that means, as you probably know, mashak is the word. It means to rub or smear with oil. It's symbolic, of course, of the Holy Spirit. It would be like just saying, rub the Holy Spirit all over these guys. Soak them in it. Smear it all over them. It's the Old Testament probably picture of Ephesians saying be filled continually with the Spirit. That word in Greek there is a continuous tense. Be filled and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to lay hands on you in a minute and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit all over again. Yeah. We're going to smear you with anointing. Because you know as well as anyone, maybe better than most probably, but it's not by our intellect, it's not by our wisdom, it's by the anointing. It's by the impartation of the Holy Spirit that comes to us that we accomplish what we need to accomplish. So we're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to ask the Lord to fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit today. Then he said, ordain them, and that word is male. It means to fill the hand. So when God told Moses to do this, he wasn't just saying, this is all symbolic and a nice little gesture you're doing here. He was saying, Moses, when you put your hands on Aaron, he's going to get something. He's going to fill the hands. Something is going to be released. See, I believe when we do this today, that the reason the Lord told me to do this is I believe your gift will go to a higher level from today. You'll see more clearly. You'll understand in new ways. You'll discern more easily. That's a key phrase for you. Your discern ability to discern what's in the atmosphere, what's going on in places, what's in the heart of people. That's all going to go to another level today. I'm telling you, that's going to happen today. We're going to anoint you, and God's going to put something in your hands, in your heart, that is going to change even the way you think. And the last word is consecrate. And I think I've taught here before on this word, it's kadosh. It's a word that means separate unto the Lord. The root word, the word holiness comes from this word, holy, kodesh. Separation is kadosh. Not separate from, but separate unto. Big difference. And we're going to separate you guys afresh and new to the Lord. We're going to consecrate you. Don, I want you to help me, but I first want to just say, if you're picking up anything in the spirit you want to say and exhort before we pray, this would be a good time to do that. I mean, I know you're very prophetic, and I can't imagine that there aren't some things stirring in you. So, yeah, right now, if you would.
I heard the term added value and value added. In terms of the bees. The land that flowed with milk and honey. Milk is a processed and manufactured end product of something that's already in the land. And it's a sustainable source of repeated supply. The bees, before the fruit is ever formed, you're waiting for the harvest, but a harvest is being produced while you're waiting for the harvest because the bees are functioning in the blossoms in the season of the fragrance, and they're producing you a harvest as you're waiting for the harvest. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, and there's something in the land that will be value added as you manufacture, or the work of your hands, which is what this word manufacture means, the work of your hands. God said, I have crowned you with glory and honor, and I've set you over the work of my hands. Now I'm going to bless the work of your hands and bring value added to the things that come out of the land, give you a sustainable source in terms of that which is able to produce a sustainable, produced and sustainable source of resource in your life. And then I'm going to give you double harvests. That even while you're waiting for the harvest of the fruit or the nut, it comes on out of the blossom, the bees are going to be working to produce you a harvest of honey. It's going to be sweet to the taste, and you're going to enjoy it. Secondly, God said this, as you face my enemies, and this is God's promise, God said, I'll send my hornets. So as you face God's enemies, God said, what's behind you? He said, I'll send my hornets, and I'll bring terror to your enemies. And God is going to deal with enemies that come at you, and that sense of SWAT and NATS really made, you know, everything that Dutch is saying made sense to me. These things that I felt like God was speaking into me as we came in today of value added. And there are things that are now available to you, but value-added manufacturing, work of the hands, is going to make those things much greater value in taking and bringing natural resources or things available to you naturally and things available to you spiritually. This stuff that's already here, it goes to the next level because of this value-added process or work of the hands manufacturing that God is going to give you strategy for. And this blueprinting is really coming into your life. Something fundamental is going to shift in you. And then God reminded me of the angelic visit you had. And God said, I want you to go back and revisit that. We need to revisit that, Clay. And we need to talk about that, Clay, because it was functional to the, you know, the full function of that is a part of this sequential next step that's coming into your life as well. And then this season, Susan, there is an anointing coming on your life, a refreshing anointing is coming on your life. And there is a hormonal shift that's coming to both of you, like Abraham and Sarah. A hormonal shift is coming, and God said, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to restore youth in your lives, and you're going to experience a score of years in which you will feel as if the things that you lost are fully coming back. I said, fully coming back. No, I said, fully coming back. I said, fully coming back because of the manufacturing that's going to be reset even in your physical bodies in terms of hormonal glands malfunction, and a fullness is coming for fulfillment. And this relates to Aaron's rod that budded. That's when you said Aaron's rod, man. I was like, this is it. The Aaron's rod that budded, that the rod of God, see, makes available. Not only it was blossoms and it was nuts, but there's also a fragrance. And this is the part I was waiting. I didn't get this sense of fragrance. Fragrance being, I believe, what you said about discernment. See, I see discernment as the olfactory. I see discernment being the smelling of the spiritual smell to be able to differentiate fragrances in an atmosphere. And you will walk into a city, you walk into a place, you will smell the breath of another person in a figurative sense. And you will say, you will discern a spiritual condition that is available to your understanding through this discernment. And that heightening will cause you to be able to sniff the air, as it were, the atmosphere, and say, this is what is really functioning in the wind, in the atmosphere of this place.
So come up, if you would, Clay, and share the dream you had, and then we're going to pray over you. It might be a good time for the worship team to go get ready.
This morning, Clay, when we were in that place of worship, I leaned over to Dutch. I asked the Lord whether I was to share it before the service or after. And I leaned over. I felt the Lord said before, or, you know, before he ministered. And last night I dreamed that I was in a bobsled, like the Olympics. And the movie Cool Running kind of comes to my mind. But it was just me in it. And I was sitting ready to go. And I was just teetering. It would be my word, you know, with that. And he walked up and gave me a shove.
I'm going to shove him today. This is God, I'm telling you.
I understood in the dream that I was about to go for the ride of my life. And I also felt, I didn't say this to you, but you said it, I felt like, as awkward as I felt being in a bobsled, you know, that's just out beyond who I really am. You know, if it been a Harley, but anyway, out beyond, I felt like that I had been prepared for this. Everything I'd been doing had been prepared for this run with that. And one of the things I understand about that is once you start, you go to the bottom one way or the other. You know, some of the guys end up under the sled, and I realized that there was that potential but there was a total peace that was there on me. And I knew with that. And so I leaned over to him, and I could see a witness. I saw in his eye that he was carrying something with that, and I knew that I was supposed to speak it. So whatever, you know, as we walk this thing through, can I just share one other thing out of my heart and everything? What was the word you, greater value? Is that the word you?
Value added.
And I just want to say this. I know the value that God has added to my house, to my life, is in this house. And I'm going to mention a few names because they're the closest leadership, but the Dan and Vicky and Thomas and Kathy and Henry and Mary and Jim and Debbie and others that are here. Because God's been staging this thing. I also dreamed just a couple of weeks ago, and I understand it now, that the Lord took me into heaven and said, I'm going to show you your life. And when he showed me a chessboard. And when I was a kid many, many years ago, when I was paralyzed, I actually played chess during that 7 months that I couldn't walk. Haven't played it since then. Played it probably when I was about 11 years old. But the Lord showed me his chessboard, and he said, I've set things up for a checkmate. And so I, you know, all of this has been being confirmed, even though I wouldn't tell you that before you spoke today that I had the fullness of interpretation of this, but I'm seeing, but I saw this chessboard, and it was very interesting, and I'm speaking to the shareholders, not just the leaders, but yes, I saw you, Jim and Debbie, and yes, I saw you, Dan and Vicky, you were the pieces on the board. And I know that God has added greater value. That the word used, greater value, added value, which you're greater to us in this. And even the word, the vision, you had what was an open vision about stepping from a platform to another. Dan had an open vision, much like what I saw over Dr. Childs today. And I was on a bigger platform like this, but I was stepping to one that was, what did you say, 2x2 or 3x3?
Had that vision today.
Huh?
Today? Yeah.
No, this was a while back, but he had come and I'd prayed into it, and I knew that God was telling me, I'm going to have to get very strategic about this next place he's carrying me to. And so, you know, we prayed into it, and we see it because it just like I spoke in Dr. Childs, but I referenced that in my mind in the word I had for Jim Childs was the fact that when you go from a carpeted platform to one that's hardwood, and only 2x2, and it's beyond where you can just step. I knew I was going to have to jump. I was very worried about my boot slipping off the other side. You know, that was a concern, you know, in it and everything when Dan shared that, when he said he saw that. The other thing, too, that I want to say, and I believe this fits in, the boots I have on today are very special. And I heard the Lord say, wear these boots this morning. These boots are made out of, you can't buy them anymore. They're made out of elephant. And these boots are 37 years old.
Wow.
And the first level of promotion that God ever gave us in 1988 in ministry, we bought these boots.
Wow. David was 37 when he was released to go to Zion and move into his fullness of destiny, you know, from Hebron to Jerusalem.
And so there's just a lot of confirmation. And I want to tell you, you're not here, even if you're just visiting, you're not here by accident.
That's
because
good.
No matter what part of this territory you represent, I listen, years ago I heard a word prophesied to Happy Caldwell by Kenneth Copeland in a meeting I was in. And I remember, I mean, we didn't know anything. We hadn't even read very many charismatic books at that time. And I looked at Sue and I said, that word's for me. And I said, I'm going to reach and get that word. That word's for me. And I reached and got it. We saw it come to pass. And I'm telling you, there's some things being spoken today over our lives that are words for you. And if you'll reach up in faith and get them and pull them into your spirit, God's going to give them to you. They're going to come to pass and everything.
Value added refers to the greater profit that's available through the manufacturing process. Added value refers to the shareholders' share, the profit, which value added can produce an added value to the shareholders. So what God's doing in you of value added, He's doing through you of added value, which brings profit to every shareholder.
That's good. That's good. Well, come up here, you guys, and let's pray over them. The Lord said, reposition and recommission. That's what we're going to do. Would you all just stand and stretch your hands up here? Thank you, Father. Need some oil here. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for this couple. I thank you for the price they paid and the pressing into you that has happened in their lives. I thank you for your processes, which are all good. Everything about them is good. I thank you, Lord, for what you are about to do as they are repositioned in the spirit realm, spiritually repositioned to go to a higher level of authority, of anointing, of ability, even of wisdom and revelation. That every gift you have put in them will be fine-tuned this day to a new level. They will hear more clearly. They will smell and discern more easily. They will interpret more quickly. They will dream more, have more visions, and everything that they do will go to a new level of productivity and fruitfulness. So we say over them today, they are now repositioned spiritually, repositioned before you to be knighted once again to a new level of authority. We say in Jesus' name now, increase comes to you. Increase in every area comes to you. You are recommissioned. You are re-anointed. You are revalued. Your hands are filled with fresh oil. Strength, signs, wonders, miracles are now increasing through your hands. When you touch something that you didn't have before, will be released. And the gifts that you have had, it's almost like it's going to feel like it's a new gift, but it's really not. It's just the gift you've had going to another level. So we say once again today, you're set apart. You're kadoshed to a new season. You're kadoshed to Jerusalem. You go from friendship, you add to friendship, and now you go to the Zion mountain, where you are conspicuous, where you rule in a fresh new way, where principalities and powers will be terrorized when you come into the region. And you will decree and prophesy, and you will prophesy over people. But yes, you will prophesy in a new way into regions. And the decreeing anointing and mantle is released to a new and fresh place in you. You'll dream dreams, and you'll get up from your bed, and you'll say, I must go to this city today and decree in this town or this county or this region today. You'll be strategically led and directed in ways you've never even dreamed possible. You'll get up and you'll go to the airport and fly to a place on the very day you get up from the dream, because you'll say, I must go there. And I call into you the provision that you need. I say that the very increase of anointing is like a magnet now drawing increased provision. And as David got to the throne with everything he needed to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, and when he turned 37, you and your 37-year journey, which your shoes mark today, I say to you, you are now moving into fullness of anointing and fullness of calling and fullness of destiny and fullness of provision. And it's the end, but it's a new beginning. So we reposition and we recommission and reassign in the Spirit.